Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live and local sports talk from the upstate for the upstate with Gina, JC, and Lonzo. This is the Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Okay, let's go.
4 minutes after 1 o'clock, welcome into the Monday Huddle here on ESPN Upstate on January 30th with Greg McKinney, JC Sherbert, and Lonzo in studio with you for the next 3 hours. JC, this is one day when we should be thankful that we're on the opposite side of the console from the producer, because he's over there watching video of some basketball player's eyeball popping out.
Yeah. I'm actually very thankful for that.
You should be very thankful. It was not. I didn't watch the video. You know, when before the video pops up, they show it right at the beginning. The eyes coming out right there. It's bad.
It's like it's a New Zealand, like a professional player in New Zealand. Is that what it was?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Glad I missed that. Thank you for being over there with
me. I can send it to you if
you
like.
I'm good. Thank you. Welcome in today. Tons to get into today in the Huddle. We'll recap what happened over the weekend, including college basketball. Hey, Clemson got a win, broke that losing streak. We'll hear from Brad Brownell as the Tigers beat Pitt over the weekend. And even the women's basketball team at Clemson got a rare conference win. We'll tell you about that coming up. It's been a while for that team. South Carolina won as well. They have moved up in the AP poll. Did you know, JC, that the South Carolina men's basketball team is now ranked ahead of Duke?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. But I don't pay much attention to the rankings. The RPI is kind of what I look at.
I think it's funny, though.
It's interesting. They're ahead of Duke in the RPI, too. Gamecocks are 19th, Duke's 20th.
Yeah. So we'll talk about where our local teams stand and what happened over the weekend with those teams and others. We're also going to hear from a Georgia Tech player, Tedrick Jackson, who helped Tech to a win over Notre Dame over the weekend. And, of course, as it turns out, Tech is the next opponent for the Clemson Tigers. So we'll hear from him coming up here on the show. And sure, there's a little bit of recruiting news to talk about over the weekend, because now we're just 2 days away from National Signing Day on February 1st. That's Wednesday. We'll run through some of the stuff that went on over the weekend and give you the latest that we know. We'll have JC's Hot Takes and Sausage segment coming up on the show as well. News about a Braves baseball player that was in an accident over the weekend. He's okay. He's got family members in the hospital. Tell you about that coming up on the show as well. Give you a chance to win $1,000 right before 2 o'clock this afternoon in the free cash stash and more. Plus, you can call us at 844-477-3776. Text line always open to you here in the Huddle, driven by Carolina Coaches RV Superstore. It's 71307. Use the keyword ESPN at the beginning of your text message, or you can reach us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate.
And now, the opening drive. Here's what's trending in the sports world on the Huddle.
It's Super Bowl week, finally here. And we'll have lots of preview material for you this week. First of all, let me tell you that the Patriots left Massachusetts this morning for Houston, and they had a little pep rally, and Tom Brady, the quarterback for the Patriots, among those to address the crowd.
Damn, now it's starting to feel like the Super Bowl. You know what? This journey started off at training camp. Well, it started long before that, but I know a lot of you fans were out there at our training camp practices. We had 20,000 people out there at practice when we started, and looks like we're getting up there today. Thank you guys for coming out. You know, it's been a great season, and we've accomplished a lot, but we still got one more to go. It's going to be tough. It's going to be the toughest one we've had all year. But we're excited about the opportunity. And we couldn't do it without you guys. So as Coach tells us, put all that crap that you got to deal with in the drawer. Put it all away for one more week. Because we need you guys at your best. Because we need to be at our best. So get your rest this week. Rest up. Hydrate. And get ready for Sunday, because it'll be a hell of a game. And hopefully we see you back in Foxborough with the win. Go Pat! Let's go!
Took him all the way to the end to get excited.
Yeah.
Brady. Nobody really picked the Falcons to be in the Super Bowl. It's amazing how few people saw this coming, because the Falcons were 8-8 last year. And the Panthers were so good last year that everybody just picked the Panthers to come back and win the NFC South and thought we'd be dealing with, some version of the Panthers in the playoffs again, but that did not happen. 42 ESPN experts made their predictions going into the season. None of them predicted the Falcons would make the Super Bowl. 20 NFL.com experts, so-called, predicted who would win the NFC South. 0 of 20 said it would be the Falcons. 0. Same for CBS Sports. Same for MMQB. So you sort of get the idea there.
The NFL is unpredictable, though. I mean, there's parity, and it's one of those things with, it can change from year to year. Especially, I think folks should learn their lesson with the NFC South. I mean, teams go up, teams go down. You know, every one of those teams in that division at some point has been to a Super Bowl, has had success, won the NFC. I wouldn't be surprised if it continues. I mean, the Falcons, looking promising for the future notwithstanding.
Yeah, I think this might be a little different for the Falcons. I do think they're built to last because they are young, and I like their coach. I think they've kind of got their act together. But you're right. They could flip back the other way. Here's what happened to the Panthers. The Panthers were 6-1 last year in games that were decided by 7 points or fewer. Mm-hmm. This year, 2-6 in those games. Yeah. Won the close games last year, lost them this year.
Yeah, you hang in the balance in the National Football League, and those losses can kind of snowball. And different teams have different personalities, obviously, from year to year. And this year's Panthers team did not have the same sort of mentality late in games. For whatever reason, down the stretch, or during the course of the year. So I think that, that's not hard to lose, I think, season to season in the NFL, but I don't think it's that hard to gain back either. So,
that's the good news.
Hey, the Panthers will be back. Well, that's my point.
The Panthers forgot how to finish. I mean, they had leads in a lot of games going into the fourth quarter. I think sometimes a couple touchdown leads.
Yeah, I was at one of those against your Chiefs.
Yeah, so, I mean, if they learn, they forgot how to finish. They remember how to finish. They should be okay.
Well, and Cam Newton didn't have a great year. Took a beating because of that offensive line regressing, and that affected his play all year. And Luke Kuechly was out for 6 games, and he's your defensive player of the year guy. You can't really win with Kuechly out of that lineup consistently. So all of that contributed to it. Injuries are huge in the NFL too. But look at New England, 4 games without Tom Brady, and they coasted. They just coasted back to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I guess that's the difference. Yeah, that NFC South is not like some divisions where there is a little bit of predictability, as in New England's division. It's going to be up and down. I think probably for a little while there. So what are you guys thinking this week? Getting a little closer here. I don't think the line has changed, has it? Is it still 3 points for New England? Mm-hmm. Last I saw that it was. No real developments to change any feelings about the game. Of course, we'll get a lot more analysis and breaking apart every part of the contest this week. But the Falcons are, they're pretty healthy. Julio Jones didn't practice last week very much. Right at the end of the week, he did. But I'm sure he'll be practicing in Houston this week. The Patriots, probably the healthiest team in football this year. They stayed healthy all year. So I'm still going to go with my Falcons. I haven't changed my mind yet. I'm still going to go with JC's Falcons on Sunday night.
I mean, I want the Falcons to win, but as a prediction, I think I still have to go with the Patriots. I think they're just awfully strong, and they've got experience. You got a quarterback there. I mean, and I don't know. You know, the Falcons, throughout their franchise's history, they haven't handled the moment very well. But this is a different group of players and
coaches
and everything. And, you know, you get a feel that this is a little different because in the playoffs, you know, they played two franchises that have had success, that have been to Super Bowls and won it, and they blew both of them out. I mean, 36-20 over the Seahawks and then 44-21 against the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, you know, sort of if you look at it from the mystical end of things, like the traditional end of things, they've answered their challenges. And, you know, Patriots are a bigger challenge, I think, because they're so good on defense. But, you know, you never know. You do get the sense that the Falcons are a very confident team going into the game.
Kyle Shanahan getting a lot of credit for the Falcons' offense. And, of course, he's 1 foot out the door. It's probably his last game there. What's his focus going to be like? What's his game plan going to be like? You know, he probably got too much blame when the Falcons' offense was sputtering. Maybe getting too much credit now that it's found its way. Had a lot to do with finding the right guys on that offensive line, including Mack, who we've talked about at center, made such a huge difference for Atlanta this year. That allowed Matt Ryan to have an MVP season. I think he'll be the MVP. When does that happen? It should be pretty soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
He should be the MVP. I mean, what a heck of a year he had. He set career best marks in just about every category.
Yeah.
Just about every one. So a stunning season for Matt Ryan, and having a better game plan and a better offensive line certainly helped that. There's a lot to look at this week if you want to start calling in with your thoughts on the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 51 in Houston. You can do that today. Just get on the line at 844-477-3776. You can text us at 71307. There'll be media nights and media availabilities and chances for Bill Belichick to say nothing all week long. And we'll bring that to you this week and follow the developments. See if anybody gets mouthy. Hasn't been very much mouthing off between these two teams so far. We'll see if anybody chooses to do that this week. But the Patriots and the Falcons arriving in Houston to prepare for the Super Bowl on Sunday night. And you can hear that right here on ESPN Upstate. In fact, our coverage will start at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoons. We have tons of it for you this weekend. And if you're out and about and not close to the TV, we've got you covered. So keep that in mind. The new college basketball poll out today, just a couple hours ago. Gonzaga is number one now, undefeated at 22-0, the Zags. Baylor number two. Kansas got the big win over the weekend, and they are number three. Villanova at four, and Arizona is at five. South Carolina's Gamecocks move up to number 19 in the poll with their 17-4 record, so they're back in the top 20 here. Duke at 21 with a 16-5 record. Interestingly, you're just looking for something to fuss about, and I know we really don't care about polls, but we talk about them anyway. UCLA 11 with a 19-3 record, JC. They're behind Kentucky at 8. Kentucky has 4 losses, and UCLA beat them at Rupp. So,
yeah,
I don't know how that makes much sense. But anyway.
And again, I'll mention this like I did last week. Florida last week beat LSU on the road 106-71, beat Oklahoma on the road 84-52. They have an RPI of 9. They have the third-ranked non-conference strength of schedule, and they're 24th.
Yeah.
So that's ridiculous. I mean, they lost at South Carolina, a ranked team. They have one, you know, negative loss to Vanderbilt at home by 2. And they blew two. I mean, obviously that game got their attention because they blew two opponents on the road away. And regardless of how bad LSU or Oklahoma is, this is a good basketball team. I don't get it. I think that the SEC is not a good conference when you compare it to some others. But I think they're better. You know, some of the teams are better than people give them credit for, and I think it's a little strange that Florida's 24th.
South Carolina had a 10-point win at Missouri on Saturday, and it was pretty ugly. In fact, halftime score in that game was 26-22. Gamecocks up by four. They did a little better in the second half and put some points on the board. This is a 5-win Missouri team that gave them some trouble on Saturday. And I know that Frank Martin is talking with the media today, and he's talking about needing more production inside. He feels like the Gamecocks have to get Silva going. Kutsar, they need to get him going. They need more from those inside players for the stretch run here. And I agree with that. They're depending a lot on outside shots.
Yeah, I'm with him there. I mean, because there's going to be games, and it was sort of this way on Saturday, where the outside shots don't necessarily fall. Notice in the second half, and Felder in the first really gave him a boost at Missouri. But, you know, Kotsar, and I've said this for a while, he sort of hit a wall as a true freshman. And that happens to young players. I thought he played a lot better in the non-conference. And it looks like, you know, just looking at kind of the way he competes, he's still competing hard, but he's a guy that gets shoved around a little bit on the inside, needs to get stronger. And that's all kind of a sign of fatigue. And then Silva's problem is foul trouble. I mean, you know, there's games where 5 minutes into the ball game, he gets called for two fouls and has to go sit on the bench, and then, you know, the dynamics change. So I think if South Carolina, and I think the Gamecocks are going to make the NCAA tournament this year. I think a lot, as far as where they're seated, depends on the second half of the conference schedule, which is tougher than the first half. But for them to make some noise, you know, Silva and Kotsar definitely have to up their game and all that, because they, you know, they get in a situation where if Silva goes to the bench, Kotsar's not playing well, you know, they do have to take a lot of outside shots, and they're inconsistent. I mean, just look at the two games this week. Auburn, shots were falling. Missouri, not so much. Mm-hmm. So it was a difference between a 29-point home win and a 10-point road win against a bad team.
This week, Wednesday night, the Gamecocks will go to Baton Rouge and play LSU, and then Saturday, back home to the Georgia Bulldogs. So a couple of more key games here. I guess the good news is they didn't really play particularly well on Saturday, but they got the 10-point win. They didn't stub their toe against that Missouri team. So they're still in pretty good, still in very good shape as far as their goals.
I mean, you know, if you're the Gamecocks, you got LSU Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Baton Rouge. It's the second long road trip they'll take. LSU, to me, is, I think they have talent. I think they've given up on Johnny Jones a little bit. You know, last year he probably should have been fired for not making the NCAA tournament. You know, they have one conference win, and that was against Missouri on the road. Got blown out at home by Florida, got beat by 15 at home to Alabama, got 17 at home to Mississippi State, and then lost in their Big 12 challenge game at Texas Tech by 13 over the weekend. They're not playing well. But sometimes this is the type of game that can jump up and bite you if you're not careful. So the Gamecocks still have to play well. I don't know, Greg, even though LSU beat Missouri, that LSU isn't the worst team in the league.
Because really?
If you look at kind of their results this year, I mean, they're sitting on an 82-47 loss to Wichita State, a 30-point loss at Texas A&M. You know, they just really haven't done all that well this year. I guess they beat the College of Charleston 75-65, but it's been a brutal, brutal season in Baton Rouge, and they're not just getting beat, they're getting skunked. So it's a situation where it's a game the Gamecocks absolutely should win, but you still have to be careful because they still have good basketball players at LSU. And this is one you absolutely don't want to go and lose. But, you know, here's the thing, too. I think with all these types of games, you know, they're going to talk about it because of what happened last year, losing at Mississippi State, losing at a Tennessee team that wasn't very good, losing at Missouri. But if you look at how the Gamecocks have played this year, you know, their road wins, you got the Missouri game. They also won at Tennessee by 10 in a game they didn't play very well, and then won at Georgia and kind of got that monkey off their back. So the Gamecocks have been pretty good on the road in conference play this year against better opponents. You know, so maybe we shouldn't all sit around and talk about how they got to avoid the bad loss. I mean, I think that this team's proven that they're a better team than last season.
Mm-hmm.
They're certainly better defensively, and Sedarius Thornwell's playing consistently at a high level. And when you have those two things going, even if you get into an ugly game like Saturday, you have a chance to win.
The Wednesday game on the road at LSU, we mentioned the Saturday game, 2 o'clock, Georgia comes into Colonial Life Arena. They're making a big push to try to sell out that Georgia game. JC, they're doing a whiteout day, wear white to the arena. They're also honoring some Gamecock legends, which will, you know, help. The Legends Weekend has several things going on during the weekend in Columbia, but honoring them at the game. So, yeah, I mean, look, you got a top 20 team here. There's really no reason why they shouldn't sell out this home game. I know it's a big arena. Got that. But they're trying to make a push to try to fill it up for this Saturday's game, their next home game. Also in the SEC, what happened over the weekend, that big Kentucky-Kansas game went Kansas's way. Kansas had 52 second-half points, and they beat Kentucky by 6, 79-73. So the fourth loss of the year for the Wildcats. Baylor beat Ole Miss by 3. No big surprise there. Texas A&M lost. Florida blew out Oklahoma by 32 points. Not a real good Oklahoma team. LSU, next opponent for the Gamecocks, lost to Texas Tech by 13. Tennessee beat Kansas State. Arkansas lost. Georgia was a 2-point winner over Texas. Vanderbilt won Saturday. Alabama won Saturday. And Auburn beat TCU. So not a terrible weekend.
No, I think that Auburn game was big for them. You know, I sat here last week after they got blown out by the Gamecocks and said, you know, when you watch them, they're a pretty talented basketball team. And TCU, you know, Jamie Dixon, who used to be the coach at Pitt, went out there and has them playing pretty well. You know, I think they're 49th in the RPI, the Big 12's tough. TCU basketball has very little tradition. Dixon is a TCU graduate, so that was he's kind of going home. But they're playing good basketball, and Auburn went out there and beat them, and that was a big win for Auburn, a big win for the conference. I also think Vanderbilt's win over Ohio State and Tennessee's win over Kansas State is also helpful for the Southeastern Conference, because Kansas State and Iowa State are two pretty good basketball teams.
In the ACC, Clemson got a win. They needed it. Broke a six-game losing streak. We're going to hear from Brad Brownell coming up in the next hour, but Clemson beat Pitt by 7, 67-60 on Saturday. Syracuse upset Florida State on Saturday by 10 points. Game was at Syracuse. North Carolina lost to Miami over the weekend. How about that? By 15 points. So the Tar Heels now with 4 losses on the year. Georgia Tech, Clemson's next opponent, they slipped by Notre Dame by 2 points. It's a good win for Josh Pastner and the Yellow Jackets. And Duke did beat Wake Forest, but barely. 85-83 was the final in that one. So Duke now with 5 losses on the year. But they squeaked one out by putting up 53 points in the second half of that game. Again, we'll hear from the coach of the Tigers coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Talk about what's going on with Clemson basketball this week. And also a little later on, we'll hear from one of the guys who have stepped up for Georgia Tech. Tedrick Jackson had, 25 points over the weekend in that Tech victory over Notre Dame. I did not watch the Pro Bowl. Apparently it's one of the better Pro Bowls in a while.
Watched a little bit of it. Saw Richard Sherman's pick, saw Stephon Gilmore's pick, then quit watching it.
Yeah.
See, this is the one time, you know, I'm usually the advocate for the Pro Bowl every year, talking about, and I didn't watch it. The Royal Rumble was the one I watched that instead. And I'm telling you, it was probably a lot more exciting, although I have read and seen some highlights that Travis Kelce did well, got offensive MVP, and, you know, I probably would have enjoyed it. So the one time I don't watch, it's supposedly decent. I don't know.
The AFC won 20-13. Kirk Cousins made a hustle play at the end, making a tackle on an interception, which was kind of cool. Tried to strip the ball. You know, by all accounts, one of the better Pro Bowls in recent years. Minnesota Vikings defensive end Everson Griffin had a great performance. 3 sacks, 8 tackles. So he played really well. Yeah, I should have checked in on the Pro Bowl a little bit, but did not do it. Every player on the winning team got $61,000.
That's not bad.
Losers got $30,000 each. And some of the players said that helped. Financial element, you know. I mean, you're playing for $31,000, win versus loss.
Yeah. I mean, that would give you some incentive. You make twice as much if you win.
So maybe the Pro Bowl is not doomed. You know, a lot of people were saying just cancel this stupid thing for a while. But maybe it's going to make a little bit of a comeback.
And I just read that the Skills Challenge was like the most watched thing on ESPN last week.
Was it?
And I missed out on that, too. I saw a brief excerpts of it on the big screen over there. Saw the linemen pushing a big box, and I guess they brought back the quarterback challenge and that kind of thing. Why did they ever take that away anyway? That was always my favorite part.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Maybe they've learned some lessons to make this a better weekend. And seemed to be a win this weekend for the NFL on the whole Pro Bowl thing. The 49ers made their decision on a general manager. John Lynch, Hall of Fame candidate. He's been a candidate. He's been a Fox analyst. ESPN's quoting sources is saying it's for a 6-year deal. That you don't usually see. 6-year deal to be the general manager.
It may take 6 years to fix that mess.
Yeah, maybe it's what he insisted on. Give me some time,
they're
man.
They're terrible.
Yeah, they are. They're horrible. It's about a week before he's eligible to be voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So he'll be going back to the Bay Area where he played at Stanford. The plan is to offer Kyle Shanahan, we talked about earlier, the Falcons offensive coordinator, a 6-year deal as well to be the head coach. So they're going long term at the 49ers and tying the general manager and the head coach together and maybe see if they can turn some things around.
Will Shanahan be another coach trying to see if he can fix Kaepernick or will he cut
him
loose?
They're going to draft a quarterback, aren't they?
They need to. They definitely need to.
Yeah.
I don't think Kaepernick's a good fit for what Shanahan likes to do.
What about Gabbert?
Maybe. Gabbert, I mean, he's got Gabbert's an example of why you don't draft Deshaun Kaiser over Deshaun Watson. Gabbert had an excellent, college career, but wasn't all that clutch and, was more of an upside guy. And, that's Deshaun Kaiser. Deshaun Watson, different deal. Special player.
Mm.
I would take Watson.
A lot of people are still suggesting that the 49ers may go with Trubisky with that second.
You know, Mitch Trubisky would be a long-term, would be a good fit for what Shanahan does. And look, you know, we talk about it in the scope of what the Falcons are doing now, but, you know, it's still a pro-style system, and you're not going to have the weapons with the 49ers, and Shanahan will probably hire an offensive coordinator anyway, but you're not going to have the ability to be as creative with the 49ers as you were this year with the Falcons that, you know, have tons of skill talent, 2 good running backs, heck, even the fullback and tight ends get in the mix sometimes. So I think, I think that it's to be determined what ultimately happens there as far as system goes. But just looking at it like it is now, Trubisky could be a good fit. I still think you take Deshaun Watson if you can. But if they go with Trubisky, I don't think that's as bad as maybe drafting a Kaiser and just wishing and hoping. And I think Kaiser's going to be pretty good. But there's much more risk involved with him versus a Watson than to a lesser extent Trubisky.
The Colts hired their general manager over the weekend. It's Chris Ballard, the former Kansas City Chiefs director of football operations, is the new guy. And now Adam Schefter is saying that Chris Ballard is going to keep Chuck Pagano for 2017 and then reevaluate for 2018.
Hmm.
Interesting. How's Angry Zach going to feel?
I can tell you, he is not going to be happy. He was ecstatic when Grigson got fired. I mean, he was. I've never seen him happier. Now it's going to be the exact opposite because he cannot stand Pagano. So, are you surprised that he's going to keep Pagano?
No, I mean, Irsay had said that a couple of weeks ago, or at least a week ago, said that he'd be returning. But some people thought that Ballard would still, push to make a change. But looks like he's going to give him a year. Going to give him one more year. The Colts will have more than $50 million in salary cap space during free agency, so they might buy some players.
If they need to buy an offensive line.
Yeah.
So Andrew Luck doesn't get killed.
Yeah. They've got Luck. They've got T.Y. Hilton, Moncrief, their receivers. They also need to work on the defense, though. Defense was 30th in the league this year. So they're going to introduce Ballard at a news conference at 4:15 this afternoon, and he'll probably talk more about his plans for Chuck Pagano. But looks like one more year for Chuck to prove himself before they make a change there.
Well, the Colts were actually also in the rumor mill. Rumor was Colts were going to go try to get Nick Saban.
Yeah.
So that's and if you're Nick Saban, that'd be a franchise. If I wanted to kind of coach out the string in the NFL for 4 or 5 years, that'd be a franchise I'd go to because you got a quarterback, and that was his problem at Miami is they just didn't have a quarterback.
So keep Pagano for 1 year and then make a run for Saban. Is that what they might do?
Yeah, I mean if you want to, I don't know that he'll go, that would be the type of franchise I would think would be appealing to him. You know. Not like a 49ers situation where they're extremely dysfunctional. It's going to take a while to get them out of the thing. The Colts, you know, like you said, rebuild the defense. They already have a quarterback. Rebuild the offensive line. You're not that far away in Indianapolis as opposed to some of these other places.
Yeah. We'll talk a little recruiting coming up here in a few minutes. 844-477-3776. Our text line 71307. Let's go to Jim next on the line. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing good, Jim. What's up?
I will ask JC, do you think Deshaun will be around long enough for San Francisco to get him? I think they probably want the top 5 or 6.
A second.
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 So, yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, just obviously it depends on what Cleveland's going to do. But, I think that's a – I mean, like I said, if I'm Kyle Shanahan and – John Lynch, I guess, the new GM out there. I'm going to give him a good look because, you know, they've had so many quarterback issues. Even when Harbaugh was there, you had Kaepernick, and he did a good job. Yeah. But, I mean, I think that guy could be a guy you could build your franchise around. You know, Trubisky could end up being really good, too, but I think he's going to take a little longer.
Yeah, I think so, too. What do you think Carlos is going to go?
Likens.
Top of the second round.
He had a good Senior Bowl week. He was one of the guys that got high grades for what he did at the Senior Bowl, so that might have helped him a little bit. But I don't know, JC, any thoughts about where Watkins might go?
I think he should be into the first round. I mean, I don't know that there's too many better defensive tackles out there. And there's a lot of guys that are like ends, but like Jonathan Allen from Alabama is kind of an end that can play 3 technique. But I like Watkins. I've always been high on him. I'll tell you stories from, I think, Forest City, North Carolina.
I know where I'm from.
Yeah, never has any players, but Carlos Watkins, we saw him on film when he was a rising senior. He's playing running back, just bowling over people, running over. And look, it took him a while to reach his full potential at Clemson. You know, early on, he wasn't as good. But boy, this year he was outstanding.
I think
his trajectory is just going to continue. I just think he's going to end up being, even if he goes in the second round, he'll end up being a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like Grady Jarrett, you know. He ended up getting better and better and better and was great his last year. Now he's starting for a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, only 2 big-time players ever come out of Rutherford County. That's where I'm from, is Chuck and Rodney McSwain.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big boy in high school. My nephew coached him in high school, and he was a big boy in high school. But he was a big running back, and that's what they used him for because he's so big and powerful. But he beefed up a little when he got to Clemson.
Good player.
He's a good player. Yes, he is. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate it. Speaking of Clemson guys, former Clemson guys, Billy Napier has a new job. Of course, he's been the receivers coach at Alabama. He's going to Arizona State, and he'll be the offensive coordinator for the Sun Devils. 37 years old, and all of a sudden you got a bunch of departures from Alabama, JC. Lane Kiffin, of course.
Yeah.
Cristobal left to go to Oregon, and now Billy Napier going to Arizona State. It'll be a second stint as an offensive coordinator. You'll recall he did that at Clemson. 2009-2010, fired by Dabo after the 2010 season. He was a quarterback at Furman, of course, and played two stints at, or served two stints at Alabama. He was an offensive analyst for the Tide in 2011. Spent a year at Colorado State as a quarterback coach in 2012. Went back to Alabama where he coached the receivers the past 4 years. So, what do you think? Napier to Arizona State? Well, I mean, what do you think about Alabama losing assistant coaches? Is that sign of any issues?
I've got some thoughts on Napier and hot takes and sausage later. I'll just say that it's an intriguing hire for the Sun Devils to bring him out there. And I'll get to more of that later. As far as Alabama's assistants go, it can't be easy to work for Nick Saban as an assistant coach. And from what I've been told, it's just not. And, you know, guys have success there, and I think they want to go for another opportunity and maybe a little better quality of life. But they're not going to have any problems filling the job. I mean, you know, if you go to Alabama and work for him, you're going to have other good opportunities. But I think this year, the last 2 years, even though Alabama's lost, what, two games the last 2 years, one's to Clemson, one's to Ole Miss, I think they've been challenging for Nick Saban a little bit because they've had to win some games in some manners that he's really not comfortable with by outscoring people just because of the nature of the game. And so I think that although they've had tremendous success, it's been a tough couple of years. And it probably hasn't been easy at all. So, you know, when you have that kind of environment and you sort of feel like a failure because you lost one game at the end, there's going to be some turnover. And it's surprising that there's going to be some turnover.
It's probably not going to help his mood that assistant strength coach at Alabama got arrested for DUI yesterday morning.
Yeah, probably not.
Josh Chapman, 27 years old, found passed out in his vehicle, released on $1,000 bond. He was a lineman for the Crimson Tide 2007 to 2011, during a time which they won two national championships.
Yeah.
Joined the staff prior to last season, working under the head strength and conditioning coach, Scott Cochran. He's an Alabama guy, went to Hoover High School, drafted by the Colts in 2012, and played in three seasons before he was released in September of 2015. So we'll see what they do with Josh Chapman, assistant strength coach, after his DUI arrest. I'm sure that Nick is not in a good mood about that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.